Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we worship you, Lord. Father, we thank you. We glorify your name again. Thank you for the fellowship here this morning. We are to worship together in your name. We are told in your word. There you are in the midst of us, Lord. So we thank you for the time of worship and praise, Lord. Blessed be your name, O Lord. Father, as we read your word, Lord, bless your word this morning. Bless us, Lord, as we read it. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, just a piece of scripture here. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, we are told that for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. The Bible says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And then he goes on to tell us how it is done in the next particular phase. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So this morning, faith is our victory. Praise the Lord. Faith is our victory. Now, the scripture speaks of Father Abraham, or Abraham as the father of faith. Who is the father of us all. That's what it says in Romans 4:16. Abraham is the father of us all. So I want to read in Romans 4:17 through about 20. As it is written, I have made thee, meaning Abraham, a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And that God is our example, so we are sure to learn to call the things which are not as even they are, in line with God's word. Who against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall the seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So, faith is our victory indeed. So, show Father Abraham in many instances in his life. So, this great patriarch encountered all kinds of problems, but he did learn one thing. He learned to be an overcomer. Praise the Lord. That was what he does to his people. Not to be an overcomer. When he found famine of arrival at the promised land, what did he do? He went to Egypt, contrary to the perfect will of God. Even when we make mistakes, as the elect of God, God shows us mercy, He didn't leave us to our mistakes. He makes a way for us. So I believe, even when he made a mistake, I believe his faith pulled him out of maybe self-condemnation or any kind of thing like that, it's faith in God, pull him back. There he almost, in Egypt, almost lost his wife, had God not intervened there to the Pharaoh, that trip did other evil things that would have brought the patriarch down. What was it? One of them is this. Upon leaving Egypt, they brought back Sarah's handmaid, an Egyptian, by the name of Hagar, they brought him back with them from Egypt, Sarah will later persuade Abraham to have Hagar as a second wife to raise an heir to Abraham, even though God had promised Abraham an heir through Sarah herself, all kind of trials and temptations lie in the pastor's way. Of course, Hagar gave birth to Ishmael, as you know, who persecuted Isaac. Even at that young age of 15, he was a persecutor, and became the father of the Arabs, who also had ever seen the enemies of the descendants of Isaac, meaning Israel, all the descendants and so on, we know. So Abraham's faith in the Almighty God pulled him through all of these things, So, like we are saying, faith is our victory. We overcome the world, you know, because we are born of God. It has been, this kind of faith, you know, of attributes of faith has been displayed in all men of God. Just, you may say that, you say, Bible says, for whosoever is born of God. Even Abraham, even our salvation, you know, and our calling, and so on, and election, was tied in him too, and so on. Just like we were called by God, we were saved, right, through faith. Abraham, having not even, coming from idol worshipping house, and so on, God picked him, not because he did anything, that, you know, but God's election, you know, was what was in his life, and so on. So anyway, so what God is telling us here, that faith is our victory, was kind of foreshadowed, even in his life, and so on, that, you know. So, and when he said, there came, I had many trials, and eventually God fulfilled the promise of giving me a child through, you know, Sarah, and they had Isaac, and then came his greatest trial, you know, when God asked him to sacrifice the son of promise, meaning Isaac. Bible says he obeyed. And in Hebrews 11:17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall the seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. We see how he demonstrated his faith, take a 3 days journey or so to go to Mount Moriah, and you know, and when he got to his place, how he told the servant that when we see him, you stay right here, you know, and I and Eli will come back, and this is the person that I'm going to sacrifice to God, right? And he told his hand, look, you just stay here, I and the child will come back, and so that, you know. So we see how he demonstrated his faith. So that's a whole long story by itself, but we see the faith of Abraham right here. So whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So faith is always our victory in so many ways, tied in Abraham and so on, through domestic trouble. Yeah, the father of fear, domestic problem, a lot of them, you know. And God put him through all of those things, you know, through faith. Faith is our victory. So much is known about Abraham. I'm going to leave him right there. Even the question of him sacrificing Isaac is a whole message on his own. What he typified, how Isaac typified Christ, and all of those things. You know, we know those things already. I'm going to move on this morning. Faith is our victory. Daniel and the three Hebrew children, talk about them a little bit and so on, you know. They are the royalty. We know Daniel and those three Hebrew children, they are the royalty. They were descendants of Ezekiah, actually, according to Bible recording. How do I say that? At one time, when Ezekiah was sick, right? And then he got to where? Then I think the king of Babylon came to visit him. And when he did, to come and congratulate him for getting away and all those things. And Ezekiah showed him everything in the kingdom. He showed him the palace, he showed him everything. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him. What have you done, Ezekiah? Oh, they come to, the day when my friend come to visit me, you know what? Thus said the Lord, as the day will come, when the king of Babylon will come and take everything you have shown him, and even the house of the Lord and the God in there and everything. So truly, that's why Daniel, the three children were taken to Babylon, fulfilling that prophecy and so on. They were of the royal seed. They were descendants of Ezekiah, meaning Daniel, and the three Hebrew children, because the prophecy of the Lord says so. Anyway, no sooner they got to Babylon than the testing came to these children, like about 17-18 year old, you know, boys and things like that, you know. Talking about faith is our victory, right? And they were commanded to be fed the royal dainties and the wines of the king's table in Daniel chapter 1 verse 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. and they did all kind of things to these children. They renamed them, you know, and after the name, so that they can forget their real name, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and things like that. They renamed them so that they can forget about the religion of their father, of their land, and take on Babylon. That is right. So, but faith is the faith that overcome the world. These children, let's see them. Now, what the average young man today would have congratulated themselves, you know, on receiving such attraction, you know, and rich fear, and for being selected to be recipients of the luxuries and pleasures of Babylon. You know, that's an average. But not these children, so they have faith. They might easily have said to themselves, you know, that since they were captive, they had to obey the king's command. not Daniel and the king, okay, no. So disobey, you know, might surely cost them advancement, and they were in the king's court, right? Promotion, they call them their promotion, or any kind of advancement, but they are working for the king, right? You know, not to even talk or speak of incurring the displeasure of an absolute monarch. You can enter with an absolute monarch. Whatever he says, you know, there's nothing, no changing, you know, he is everything as well, rather than God. Who broke or doesn't tolerate any interference nor trusting of his way? But they took no notice of all of this. So they refused, you know. They did not want to drink the king's alcoholic wine. They don't want to do it. Because later on, in that 10, he drank a different kind of wine. The Bible says it was money for 3 weeks, right? And some of that, you know. So there are all kinds of wines, right? So, not like they didn't drink wine. So anyway, they also knew that the king's table at times will provide swine's flesh, pig, pork, like we have in America today, and causing all kinds of diseases. They don't even know it, you know. So pork and flesh and so on, you know. Also, the meat might contain blood in it, and they know about their Jewish religion, that's all forbidden. That's all in Leviticus 11, 1 to 47, and you know, in 17 of Leviticus 10 to 14, they know all those things. And again, it might be meat offered to idols too. So that's why they refused it and so that, you know. Where did they get faith to resist a monarch's command? Adventure, they are not afraid of Moses, the parent of Moses, right? In the time of Pharaoh. So that's why their faith is coming from the word of God. The victory that overcomes the word is our faith. Faith in what? Faith in God's word. I know they have heard about Moses' parents and so on. When they were, you know, killing the children in Egypt and so on, that, you know, for 3 old months, the Bible says that, you know, they hired Moses and so on, say that he was a proper child, right? They didn't care what the king said and so on. And they even heard of Moses himself. How, even though he was living in the palace, you know, and the Bible says he fled Egypt, he didn't even cancel the riches of Christ. Moses talking about Christ, yes, that's right, praise God. Moses cancelling the riches of Christ more than the treasures of Egypt, yes, because after all, the Lord himself said he wrote about me. He had a vision of Christ, amen, praise the Lord. He even told the people, the Lord God shall lift up a prophet like myself, after I know and so on, that you know. And the Lord said he wrote about me. So you know those things. So this children would have read about Moses and so on, how he flew Egypt, not even what, you know, mind the king, not afraid of the king and so on. That's where their boldness is coming from. If the parents of Moses could take a stand like that, you know, and even offer for killing. So their faith is coming from the word of God and so that, you know. Anyway, so and then they stood their ground and so on. It was a crisis in the life of these children and so on that, you know. If he had not meaning Daniel, then and there, made a great decision, it would never have been heard of again, you know. But, you know, we are told in verse 8 of Daniel 1, Daniel proposed in his heart, see, that he would not defile himself, whether you are a monarch or what. So, yeah, we are told to obey the law of the land, but when they contradict the word of God, I don't care if you are a monarch, amen? Praise the Lord. So I don't care if I am a monarch. We start to obey the law of the land. In as much as it's not in conflict with the divine law of the Almighty God. the law of God to supersede all. You see? So anyway. Amen.
I'm sorry? I said those who are giving to Caesar.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So he proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuch that he might not defile himself. And with that resolve, God prepared a way. When you are defiling to do God's way, he make a way. If any man will do it, he will know the doctrine, right? You know. So if you want to do God's will, he will help you to understand it and so. And with that resolve, God prepared a way of deliverance for him and his companions. So with Mesa was the prince of the eunuchs, right? The seer of the king, Mesa feared the king that if this mother should see the countenance of these three children, four children, different from the other one who are sitting on the king's table, that is in his head. It was a monarch, he will kill him and so on, And Daniel proposed by wisdom, God's wisdom, what to do and so on. So Daniel proposed a 10-day test in which he and his companion should subsist on an ordinary diet of pulse means vegetables too, Then a comparison will be made, and we are told in verse 15, and at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appear fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus, Mesa took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should be drinking and gave them pause instead. See? Faith, I know they have faith because they know the Old Testament, they know the Word of God. Even though they were young, they have been brought up that way. They have faith in God's Word, not to eat those kind of things, And they stood there. So they overcome the Word. Faith is the victory. Whether Old Testament or New Testament, is the victory that overcomes the Word. God will stand with you and so on. It's a test, Can you imagine a monarch who can disobey him and so on and go free and so on? But God made a way. So faith is our victory that overcomes the world. There is an important lesson here for God's people. Daniel and his friends refused to conform to this world. See that? Unlike what we see today, where a vast number of professing Christians are allowing themselves to be conformed to this world instead of being transformed as the scripture commanded in Romans 12, the second verse, where it is written, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, that ye may be proved that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, faith is the victory. You are not afraid of whether they are going to get promotion or not, or even be killed by this king, if they disobey him. Faith overcomes the world, our victory. It was in their days, it was in the early church. It cannot be any other way today. Faith is our victory. God says so. It's our victory that overcomes the world. Needless to say, those who fall in line with the trends of this evil age, forsake their calling and are taking a dark path that leads only to remorse and spiritual disaster. That's what it is, And as the saying goes, anyone can float downstream with the current, but it takes determination and resoluteness of purpose to go against the tide. Amen. Mm-hmm. That they are proposing it as this Christian has to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. The good fight of faith. And there's always a reward. We are even told that God is a rewarder of them that are diligently seeking, right? As supposed to see this morning, as you take your stand, that's a reward. See, even as it's right there, and as a reward for these children and so on, Anyway, another test came to this today. Another test. So this is the victory that overcome the world. Even our faith. In the same book of Daniel chapter 2, here comes another test. Verse 1 of Daniel 2. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep break from him. Then the king commanded to call the magician and the astrologer and the sorcerer and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. Well, by the way, we know the magicians are, but who are the sorcerers? Well, sorcerers are what you call the psychics today. They are the psychics, you know, of this modern day and so on. They are psychics and so on, that you know. And they practice a whole range of black arts. Astrologers, we know them. I'm defining that we know the kind of people that the king surrounded himself with, you know. Astrologers, as we know, they pretend to foretell future events by study of the position of the stars and the planets. The sorcerers and necromancers claim to be able to communicate with the dead. So, and the Chaldeans were actually philosophers who were learned in the physical sciences of their day. So though they are Daniel and the three Hebrew mixed with all this, they belong to the Chaldean group, you know. They understand physical, Bible says that there are two times, right? Because they belong to the, not to the astrologers, they belong to the Chaldean group, you know. They know physical sciences, you know, of their day. In Daniel 1:4 we are told, children in whom were no blemish, right? But well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science. So Daniel, they belong to the Chaldean group, not to the astrologers. No, they are all together, but you know, so and God planned that way for a purpose, you know. And such as had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning of the tongue and the tongue of the Chaldeans. You understand, physical science and so. Anyway, when the so-called white men could not tell the king his dream, what happened? He decreed their destruction, like we say, an absolute monarch, right? Since Daniel and the companions were also reckoned among them, they too were included with those to be slain, as you know the story very well. But then Daniel, you know, entered the scene, you know. So we don't know why they didn't call Daniel and his group to the original conference with the king where he took the dream. I don't know why he didn't, but God had a purpose for that, to expose those magicians as soldiers as fakes. Praise the Lord. So we were not told why, you know, they were not included in the first group that appeared before the king, but God had a purpose in it. For as it turned out, the claims of the hidden systems were shown to be false. Daniel at once spoke words of confidence and wisdom. He chided the haste and rashness of the king's act. Can you imagine challenging the king or telling the head of the something? I didn't know. Why the king so rushful in his decision to do all the kind of things? I don't know. You know? And requested an opportunity to speak to Nebuchadnezzar himself. He had faith. This was only an act of faith. Yeah, it has to be. See? Now, don't forget, their life is in the balance right now. It's going to be destroyed together with the astrologer and so on. You know, so, but the faith is our victory, you know, all the time. Faith is our victory, no matter what you encounter, it overcomes the war for the believer. So, of course, you know, he was given an opportunity and assurance. So, Daniel gave Canisa assurance that if the king will give him time, he will show him the dream and the interpretation. And what faith indeed, that really an act of faith. Up to that time, Daniel knew nothing about the dream or anything like that, but he just spoke by faith. You know what, where did that kind of faith come from? Except maybe they have read the story of Joseph in Genesis, right? How he stood in, you know, by Pharaoh and interpreted the dream. But they will, this time around, they will have a more greater responsibility than what Joseph had. At least Pharaoh knew the dream that he dreamed, right? Mm-hmm. But this time around, they are confronted with a greater obstacle. They can't forget the dream. They have to recall the dream one and then give the interpretation. At the course of their life and something like that, you know. Can you see the test? So, but we know Daniel believed that the God of Joseph was with them, amen. Not only will he show them the dream, so he had faith. The victory that overcomes the world. Faith is always there. So anyway, an act of faith. Now, you know, for Daniel, you know, did not know the dream before our time. So, like Paul of old, he could say, you know, that in Acts 27, like Paul would say, I believe God. You know, I'm sorry that you know about God has shown him what will happen and so on. I believe God. Savior of good shall I believe God. He shall the calendar up. God is able to do it. Daniel, no doubt, knew of that story, you know, like I said before. So anyway, when the Kabinator granted his request, Daniel called his three friends for a prayer meeting. And together, they prayed to the God of heaven. What a prayer meeting must have been that in Babylon that night, amen? Praise the Lord. Wow, you see? They have faith in God. And God's ear was open to hear the prayer of his faithful servant. That is why that the answer will come. They went to bed that night. No worry, nothing whatsoever. And they were confident, in Jehovah God that he will do it. And we notice this thing all the time. It is often at the moment of great peril that the gift of supernatural faith will come to God's people. Always happening. You know, so we don't look for adversity or any kind of a thing, but when they come and test them, we don't look for them, but when they come and you stand your ground, that's where you have supernatural faith in it. Praise the Lord. God had a purpose in letting us to be tried that way. So that, you know. So we don't look for trouble, but if you come, I will be with him in trouble, see? I will deliver him. Share my salvation. Anyway, and that night, of course, God made known the king's dream to Daniel in the vision. And thus by faith and a prayer of faith, Daniel and his fellows did not perish. And also they saved the rest of the astrologers and so on, what name of Babylon. You see, like Paul on that ship, 273 people on that ship on the way to Rome. And not only God, I believe God and so on. So he said those people and so on. So what are you talking about here? Faith is our victory. You didn't have to perish with the astrologers and the magicians of Babylon. No wonder in the book Hebrews 11:33 says, through faith, they escaped the edge of the sword. See, they have faith in God. See, and God gave wisdom. Even more on these three Hebrew children and so on, that you know about idol worshipping. Because of a rebellion, the Nebuchadnezzar returned to the land of Israel the second time. The first time he got his children. Then later on, I think there was a rebellion, you know, on the part of the people of Israel. And he went back second time, Nebuchadnezzar. This time he destroyed Jerusalem with fire. He did. He was now the undisputable master of all the nations of the known world that time. When he came the second time, he went to Israel the second time, you know, and destroyed the and took all the vessels of gold and everything in India, and he was now the indisputable, master of all nations of the world that is known at that time. He did not forget that he was the head of gold that Daniel inhabited for him in his dream. So you know how God showed that he was the head of gold and all those things. He didn't forget that kind of thing. And as the head of a vast empire, composed of many, many people and many, many nations, and they all have various religions, you know, what will he do to unify all these things? What will he do? So he will unify these several people and religions under a banner of one religion. That's what he wanted to do, you know. So talking about idol worshipping and so on, that, you know. So yes, he's now the master of the known world. Many, many nations he has conquered. They all are different people with different cultures, with different religions. How will he unify them? Thus it occurs to Nebuchadnezzar that erecting an image of gold might be the means of unifying the religious worship of his vast empire. Everything that, as far as we know him, everything that Nebuchadnezzar does was on a grand scale. We know of the handling that is of Babylon, right? How great it was and so on. And he doesn't even forget it today. I mean, it's never to be equal today. We know the world around Babylon and so on, when it beat and so on. I don't know how tall it was, how many lengths there were on top of it and so on, that, you know. So even this image also was a great one. It had an imposing sign or size upon completion, when he finished this image and so that, any other thing he did, is it the wall around Babylon? Is it the hanging garden and so on? So this image also has a very, very, you know, compelling or imposing size. And that's in Daniel 3:1. Let's read it. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 3 score cubits. That's 60 right there. and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. Set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. So that plain is a place where, as far as you can envision, where it can be seen by all. It's a plain, right? Large area that can be seen by all. Put it right there. So, and we are told. And the day came where he would dedicate, he didn't tell the people why he's doing this and so on, that, you know. The day came for the dedication of the image. And with it, he commanded that all, you know, at the sound of all kinds of music, the people were to fall down and worship the image. That's in verse 5. That at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, will set up. Perhaps the people didn't even know anything about it before in advance, that they were to worship this image. But Nebuchadnezzar was carrying out the definite object of his mind. What is it? Unify these several people under the banner of one religion. That's what he was doing. His act on the plain of Buddha was politically motivated, as far as we know. In other words, his purpose was to set up a state religion. That's what he was doing, you know, as a means of unifying the people. And the dimension of the image are significant, really, you know, for the end time. What he was doing is important for the end time. Even when he had his dream of the image, that has to do with the end time. That's why God makes sure that that has to be interpreted as well, as you know, because it has to touch all the world, that the Gentile kingdoms right now. So anyway, dimensions are very, very important. No, that image. Talking about height was 3 cubits, and the breadth of 6 cubits. And although they mentioned about all kinds of musical instruments, but 6 were named in particular, right? So altogether, we see 3 sixes involved. 60 cubits, that is a 6 in that, the width of 6 cubits, and then there are 6 significant instruments mentioned. There are all kinds of them, 6 were mentioned in particular as well. So we see the combination of those 3 sixes right there, telling us and reminding of what we know will happen at the end of time, that, you know, reminds us of the number 666, which is the number of a man, and the number associated with the Antichrist. In Revelation 13:18, he had his wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So, in the days of the great tribulation, the beast will cause another image to be built, when he demand that men worship it on the penalty of death. See? And in a sense, therefore, this profane act of Nebuchadnezzar foreshadowed a similar one to be performed by the Antichrist at the ending of the age. In all likelihood, the members of the Nebuchadnezzar court didn't even know, or they were jealous, you know, or no, of the promotion of the 3 Hebrew children anyway, because why? You know, after the Daniel interpreted the dream, right, of the image to Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel was promoted, right? He didn't forget his brethren, right? And they were also promoted. So this, you know, they were together with other magicians, so they were jealous of them anyway. So they were still jealous of the promotion that these 3 Hebrew children received, and also Daniel. So now, Nebuchadnezzar now, as I make it, if they don't worship this image, it's at the cost of their life, right? And also, Nebuchadnezzar knew what he was doing. By that same prayer of Judah, he already put a fiery furnace right there, a beast right there, you know, because he knew what he was doing, that anybody who disobeyed him will go into that fiery furnace and so on. He knew all of those things and so on. So anyway, now, of course, the simple children wouldn't worship, they wouldn't bow down, they won't worship that image. So those of them were jealous of them before their promotion. Straight away to the king, they couldn't just wait. So straight away to the king, they went to register their complaint that these 3 Hebrew children were not bowing down, you know, to worship the image and so on, that, you know, that is in verse 12. And they say to the king, there are certain Jews whom thou, that is Daniel 3:12, whom thou hast set over the affairs of the, that is their problem. They were set, these people were set over the affairs, right? They were jealous of them. Yeah, there was a decree made, peradventure, maybe nobody could have started them. The king would have known there are many people, right? But these people are worshiping for their downfall anyway. So, who are set over the affairs of the approach of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. A familiar story. Upon finding out that the allegation was true, the king offered them what he thought was a leniency or a second chance either, you know. Let me hear from the horse's mouth. Then the king thought and threw off. Because it was not due to anybody disobeying his command. I mean, so how can it be the first one? Anyway, finally, it was that these people said they were not going to worship in verse 15. Now, he wanted to know in the outset. If ye, tell them, the king said, now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Where with you? But if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning furnace. And who is, look at that, look at the bragging. And who is that God who shall deliver you out of my hand? This is the same Nebuchadnezzar, human flesh, who when Daniel gave the, bring forth the dream to him of the image and interpreted it, he praised the God of Daniel, right? He had forgotten all those things now. He's now bragging against the God of Daniel. Who is that God, you know, that will deliver you out of my hand? No, I don't. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto him, you can be a monarch to the king. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, they even call him by his name, right? Praise the Lord. They even call him king, right? Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have only one king. His name is Jesus, amen? Oh, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. What faith, you know? They believe God. They have faith. The victory has overcome the world. Our faith. Even be it a monarch, I don't care. The kingdom, the subdued kingdoms, right? You know? And so we go to it. But if not, be it known, verse 18, unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was a change against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should hit the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Like I said, you know what he was doing? He put the furnace there because he knew that in case that the people will disobey him. And so anyway. And he commanded that the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And I keep on reading. I don't know if I read all these things, and so on, you know. Anyway, and let me read it because that's what you are doing now, to show the expression of faith, you know. And then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and other garments. And they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because verse 22. Therefore, before the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Even as people were going to put them in the furnace, the furnace, the fire leaped out of there and destroy them, to show you that what a great miracle God wrought. That's why God is describing it this way to us and so on, that, you know. I mean, terrible, hot, fiery, burning, furnace. So, these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down into the beans or the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst, of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no horse. And look at this one. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then the Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the princes and governors and captains and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. Then the Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach again, and we need to praise God again, Meshach and Abednego, who has sent his angel, very significant here, his angel, God showing some things right here, and deliver his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree, said, that every people, nation, and language which speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a donkey, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort the confession of an hidden king at that time. Then the king promoted, watch, I'm good. And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. That's the second promotion, right? When they go through that, they were promoted one way or the other. Now, second promotion. All the time, when you stand the test, there's a blessing coming in.
Amen.
Every test is child of God, and that is a blessing in disguise. Amen. So let us know it very well. Praise the Lord Jesus. So no wonder. The deliverance of the three Hebrew children was a vindication of their faith. I'm sure that's why in Hebrews 11:33, the Bible says, through faith, they quenched the violence of fire. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. They quenched the violence of fire. Hebrews 11:33-34 says so, I believe it has a reference to this one too, God was there with them. Quenched the violence of fire. Prophetically too, the incident foreshadowed the fierce persecution of the Jews by the Antichrist during the Great Tribulation. But those who stand the test, comfort from the fires of affliction, are the given position of authority during the millennium. You see, Old Testament future always foreshadowing what will happen in the future. It is the shadow of the new is the fulfillment of some of that, Now, in Daniel 6, I want to read another, like in the book of Daniel, right? Daniel 6, verse 1 says this. Now, it pleased Darius to set, the book is full of faith, the victory of faith, unprecedented, victory of faith over the greatest kingdom of that time and so on, subdued nations at all. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom of 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was before above the president and princes, and because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So what happened? Don't forget that in the days of Belshazzar, now that was the end of the Babylonian kingdom, right? Babylon. The Medo-Persian came in one night, Daniel chapter 5, I believe it, Daniel 5 and so on. The understanding of the war, so that was it and so on. Daniel was the one who interpreted it too and so on. Your kingdom is mentioned in the balances. They have found one thing. The same night, as we all know in history and so on, the same night, but before that time, the Medo-Persian, they think they have this war city around Babylon, right? That they are impenetrable, right? They think they were secure. And Belshazzar was drinking wine. Even the thing that his father did not do, those vessels from Jerusalem that were taken from there, they were all drinking wine with it and so on that night, and they were making party and drinking wine with the vessels of the temple of God from Jerusalem. And the other thing came on the wall and so on. Nobody could read it. The Bible said the king was so afraid, his legs began to pop against each other and so on that, you know. They were so afraid. Then I think the queen now said, look, what is handwriting? There is a man in your kingdom who is the death of your father, you know, interpreted dreams, no? They go and get him and so on, and they got Daniel in there and so on. And Daniel, you know, of course, interpreted the dream. Your kingdom is numbered. It's finished that same night. The Persians and so on, they have been, for months, they have been diverting the river, away from the city of Babylon and so on, and give it another cut and so on, that, you know. Anyway, that night, of course, they break through, they come through the dry valley that we have to be, and that was the end of the chapter, you know. Anyway, so now Cyrus was the king, right? Cyrus thought that, look, I still have more conquest to do, right? So you Darius, you be over there, you just go on the throne. I still have more conquest. So the little Persian Empire, right? So Cyrus was be on the throne. I think that's some military things they want to do more. So he agreed with Darius to be on the throne. So he went on his own conquest and so on. Anyway, so that what happened there, that's why Darius was in there. So now Darius was a wise person. He had known about Daniel, had heard about Daniel, and you know, observing the he had the exploits of Daniel, he had heard of it and so on, and immediately assigned him to an important position in the kingdom. He was the president, but head of the president. Praise God, you know. Mm-hmm. Now because he had heard of the good to live for God, right? So now, and observing the knowledgeability of Daniel and the excellent spirit that was in him, he seriously considered setting him over the whole realm. Various deeds and so on. Of course, the other president was jealous again. Jealousy came in again. Other people in the high court, jealous of Daniel, his advancement. Number one, he's the top of all the three presidents, right? Now, King is talking of putting him over the realm, and they were jealous about that and so on. Why? You know, they don't care about the kingdom, just about their own ambition. So anyway, so that this man will stand in their way. No, corruption didn't just start just now. Even all the issue, the corruption in all the issue of the war. They know that Daniel's integrity, as he heard, he won't tolerate any kind of nonsense or any kind of forgery in the government and so on. And we stand in their way, right? They don't want him there really, you know. So they are looking for a way how to bring him down and so on. So knowing that they will find no fault in this statesman's conduct, what a statesman Daniel was throughout all of his life, you know. So because you get in their way of their corruption, so you don't want him out there and so on. So anyway, so knowing that they will find no fault in this statesman's conduct of his office, they concluded that, look, in verse 5 of Daniel 6, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against, concerning the law of his God. What a testimony, praise the Lord, you know. So that's what we should be doing today and so on. We pray that Christians today will turn to be like that and so on. Really. So now, therefore, the process together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any God, that is in Daniel 6:7, of any God or man for 30 days, save of this. Yeah, okay, that's right. O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Daniel 6:7. Of course, you know. So, and they knew that Daniel, you know, was a man of prayer, right? And that's why the only way they can get him, and so on, that's why they come up with that one. When the proposal was given to the king, and he being flattered, he himself had his own folly. He was elevated as, they had to come to me for 30 days, you know. He didn't know the plot of this thing, that they were just after their own day. They were just working after jealousy to bring another innocent man down, right? What, the wisest person in the kingdom, in his kingdom, you know, they want to bring him down. He didn't know that. So that's why he started, and I said, now, Babylon, you know, when they were, Babylon was there, Babylon, there's a different thing here. In Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar was a monarch, you know, whatever he says is this. But in Medo Persia, kind of a parliamentary system, right? So they have to vote and agree on certain things and things like that, you know. So, and once they come to a thing, and the president said it, that's it. The decree cannot, I mean, it becomes law, and you cannot change it and so on. And they deceive the king to make this decree, nobody can pray to any god for 30 days. He thought that trying to, you know, make him to be a big person and so on, that you are everything and so on. Nothing that you are going to gain against his friend. What that is friend really, you know. That's why he did all that he did for him and so on. And so he signed it and so on. And once he signed it, the law of the fashion and the media doesn't change at all. You can't reverse it, you know. Anyway, so you know that it was tricked, so that he was signing it. So now they now told him that, hey, of course Daniel, Bible said that of Daniel, hear what he said in verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, Daniel 6:10. He went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Again, where the faith is coming from. He has read Solomon's dedication of the temple. That's why he was in Jerusalem. At whatever time your children are in trouble or in captivity or anywhere, and they will turn their face toward this temple, hear, oh God, their prayer, you know, they know all those things. So they know all those things, and that scripture, so it's under fire, all things, Jerusalem, and so on, that, you know. Anyway, that's just by the way. And once they see that, and they were delighted, that, oh, now, we got him. He's going to deny us then, right? Delighted that at the success of their plot, they lost no time in carrying their the matter to the king. No, they didn't know anything about anything. He saw at once, the king now saw, oh, now what they have done, that he had been entrapped. And we are told in verse 14, the king, when he heard his words, was so displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. He couldn't do it. The law of the media, the party doesn't change. You can't change it and all that, you know. But he could devise no way of getting Daniel out of this thing, or better than the law. So this helpless monarch at last was obliged to give the word that Daniel should be cast into the lion's den. So and then being bored by Daniel's faith, Daniel has told him many things, he has faith in Daniel. He even spoke word of faith to Daniel on the way to the lion's den. Look at what he told Daniel. You see, he has found faith in him and so on. So he himself was talking faith. So being bold by the Daniel's faith, he also even dared to tell Daniel that his God would deliver him. This is the victory to overcome the world of faith. You know, and that's in verse 16. And then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Praise the Lord. I think he's so influential, you need to put faith in the heart of people. The people are not even Christians around him and so on, that, you know. Anyway, but you know, the thing is this. I think the king's faith was not shaken later. Later the king now thought of the lion, the lion's there and so anyway. So if Daniel slept that night, the king did not sleep at all. Because verse 18 says that, see, If you think that God will deliver him, you believe that, but no, like any woman, you begin to vacillate in his faith, amen? No, then he didn't sleep at all. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. So then, verse 19 says it. Then the king, so of course, Daniel was sleeping as far as we know. And if you can imagine very well, I think probably Daniel used the flanks of the lions, those bear themselves as his pillow, you know, because God has locked his jaws, the angel of God has locked his jaws of those lions, you know, and they couldn't hurt him. Anyway, so and then before morning break, couldn't even wait. Then the king rose early in the morning, verse 19, and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, who thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Surprisingly, in reply came the sound of the familiar voice and word that sent a thrill of joy into the heart of the king. What are the words in verse 21? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. The victory has overcome the world. Even our faith, see, faith in God. And of course, the plotters, in the days of, no, I mean, to, as the plotters, as in the days of Esther, right? The gallows which Haman constructed to destroy Mordecai and so on became his own, right? That what happened to those there, right there. So the king now thought, he now saw their plot, what they have done and so on. They were not in the interest of the kingdom. They were fighting for their own gain, right? And look, the king, let me now put them through what Daniel went through. For two reasons. Maybe the king thought, look, these people, they will do worse things in the future, right? You know, so now, this is the wisest man in my kingdom. They have no interest of my kingdom at heart. Let me put them through what Daniel went through. So anyway, he commanded, verse 24. And the king commanded, not only them, I would their family, because there may be some of them who will come and revenge later. Uh-huh. Let me now put him and their family into the den. So let me just get rid of them forever, because they don't have interest of the kingdom at heart. They may do worse things in the future. And then and the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and cast them into the den of lions. Then their children and their wives and the lions had a mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. So nobody could come and say, Zion was hungry. They were hungry all the while. But the angel of the Lord, amen? God knows what he's doing. Praise the Lord. See, just kind of in Bible history and so on about faith. So the king was deeply affected, and of course, by Daniel's marvelous deliverance, and he sent forth a decree to all peoples of his land. You can that in 25 to 27 verses. I won't read that here. So, but look at it again. I say, when you stand the test, that's always a reward, amen? God will reward and so on. Verse 28. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Praise the Lord. Promotion from promotion and so on. That, you know, when you stand the test, always a blessing and so on. That, you know, in conclusion of this morning. So in Hebrews, even in that one, in Hebrews 11:32 and 33, Bible says, time will fail me to tell, and I skip now, even of David also, who through faith saw the mouth of lions, amen? Praise the Lord. No, Daniel did that, I mean, David did that also, and so, you know, there was even a lad and so that, you know, faith, you know, our victory that overcomes the world. Now, in conclusion, when the three able children met their fire, very a good lesson here, by fire, Daniel wasn't there at that time, right? So, the learning a lesson here, this thing, why I put all the three of them together is to show the important truth I want to read here. When the three Hebrew children made their trial by fire, Daniel was not there, right? It was now Daniel's turn to meet a test in which his life will hang in the balance. That would be in the lion's den, right? Now, that's one thing. So, what are we talking about? In the beginning, Daniel and the three Hebrew children, when their lives were hung in the balance, they were together, right? You know, when the king wants to destroy them, which I read before, the lesson is this. Sometimes, we believers are tested together, you know. At other times, you are tested individually, right? Yours will not be a lion's den. It will not be the fiery furnace. It will not be whether they come to kill you or anything like that, you know. Whatever it is, all this taught us that, look, faith is the victory, amen. No matter what you are passing through now, or what you pass through in the future, don't forget. Faith, our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Well, I mean, I don't know what test can surpass, you know, what those people go through. As you say in the Bible, put a lion's den, the Lord is waiting there for you, you know. So no matter what it is, you know, so faith is our victory, like we read in 1 John 5:4. So you can see in each case, they were promoted after they passed the test, right? The same thing. So, and even lastly, that scripture here in Hebrews 11:5, talking about faith is our victory. Even the rapture has to do with faith. The last scripture here, Hebrews 11:5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we see in each of those steps, they were rewarded, they were promoted, even hardly said. Even so, also the rapture is by faith. Faith in what? Faith in John 14. If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Faith in 1 Corinthians 15. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Amen? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Faith in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-19, I believe 18, I don't know. And the Lord himself shall descend, no, from heaven, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise forth, and we that are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Bible says in the book of Hebrews, I believe the last verse, or something that look for him, shall he appear again the second time without sin unto salvation. So faith is the victory, it's our victory. Even the translation to be his faith. And even above all, there's nothing else you can do to please God except by faith, amen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Praise the Lord. So faith cometh by hearing the word of God. So no matter what, brethren, what you are facing today, or what you may face tomorrow, remember that this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even your faith and my faith, amen, you can overcome all things. We are in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loves us, through faith. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Your word, O Lord God, is never boring. It's just so wonderful, way within the wheel of revelation. Even the one we know, we can be refreshed our mind in the mighty name of the Lord. Say, putting ourselves in remembrance, you know, of that which we have known before. Renew our mind in Romans 12. We bless and we worship you, Lord. So we are more than conquerors. Now, you know, we are born of God. And Bible says we have overcome the world already. Faith, the victory that overcomes the world. Help us to forget it, Lord. And that, grow that faith. How do you do? Feeding upon the word of God. In his word of sin, meditate day and night. And this word of the Lord shall not depart from our mouth. when anybody, whether a government or whoever will say something, connect to this word of God, we will stay with the word of God, and God will stay with us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you, Father. You overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of that testimony. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Speak the word only. In the name of the Lord. That which nothing shall be impossible unto us. In whatever you need, speak it to exist and command it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And it's all yours. Father, thank you for your word. We bless and we worship you. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. So is there anything else before we close?